Hey, welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveals, that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly, and I've been laughing all week. It's me, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet, and once again, I am joined by my hilarious co-hosts. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you are?
Hey, it's me, it's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snowpiercer on Tumblr, and Hella Steph on Instagram, and I am, like, so hilarious and cool and popular. I have lots of friends, and I'm absolutely not working on a PowerPoint of characters from my silly little Chinese gay drama right now. So, yeah, I'm really cool and hilarious and fun and popular. And to prove that, I have a third friend.
Hello, I'm the third friend. I'm the third friend. It's me, Eric. I'm still the person who sits in this rotating chair most of the time. And I'm not on the internet anymore, so good luck. And,
you know, go out to the world to find him, like one of those Seagram's vodka crates.
It's true. If you find me, I will, you know.
The wine cooler?
Yeah. If you find me, I'll ice you. I'll give you a Smirnoff ice and make you drink it. Because I realized I had to clarify, because I said if I ice you, it sounds like I'm going to kill you, which, like, I don't, yeah. I'm not that threatening, like.
No, ice in the other colloquial sense of, like, being presented with a Smirnoff ice.
Yeah, I will make you get down on one knee and chug a Smirnoff ice. It will be ice the flavor daddy. That's the bomb pop flavor.
I'm going to say, yeah, the bomb pot.
Oh, yeah, they still make those out of like, all the wine coolers that disappeared. The Smirnoff ice is still here.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is,
why
is, like,
all the wine coolers disappeared, but like as seltzers took off, and they didn't just all just be like, we could just put these same things in a can and it would become instantly the same thing again. Yeah.
I thought there was a gap.
We had a bunch of, like, they weren't wine coolers, but it was like a similar idea with those, like, Jack and Coke things and, like, the Jack and peach tea, like, pre-bottled things last year.
True.
You know, honestly, I think there was so much, like, homophobia about wine coolers. It's like, ooh, that's for girls. That's for gay slurs. They're like, this isn't a wine cooler. This is it's a cocktail in a can. It's completely different. Trust me.
Yeah. Tastes exactly the same. Still, like, an overly sweet drink. But, you know, who cares? On the, you know, like, Smirnoff Ice has, like, that Bomb Pop flavor. But now there's a Mountain Dew flavor that's flavored like that Bomb Pop.
Oh.
And it actually tastes like them, and it's actually not the worst Mountain Dew I've ever had.
It's a strong endorsement, speaking of food crimes.
Yeah, y'all got any food crimes this week?
Not really, other than that weird Mountain Dew flavor, and then I guess finding out that you can buy canned versions of Sheets Coffee that comes in flavors like cinnamon buns with a Z, and s'mores with a Z, and then and then chocolate bananas with a Z.
Oh, it's because it's the Sheets gimmick.
Yes.
Sheets with a Z.
Yeah.
And for a second, I was like, why are we're so cool. We're so 90s chic. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, no, we're Sheets.
You mean we're 90s Sheets?
Sheets. Sheets.
Exactly. Sheets.
Yeah. And that's all real good. I didn't think banana coffee would ever be a flavor that I wanted to try.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes it just sneaks up on you, right?
I guess.
The flavors of life surprise you.
The flavor sneaks up on you. So this was a
savor the flavor.
Slow news week.
Slow news week. It's a lot of weird news. Like, it was a bad week in real life. So yeah. I don't want to talk about that too much. But I guess there's some real stuff that we want to talk about that's not as depressing as that, but still not dope. But before that, was the Met Gala since we last recorded?
The Met Gala, I think, was since we last recorded, and I do have opinions about that. I can speak to that for sure.
Yeah, that is wild. Yeah, that was less than 7 days ago, so we'll do it like this. Excuse me for burping. I'm old. I'm trying to talk through it. It's just not working.
All right, more Dr. Sanchez.
Oh, yeah. They're not birches. They're not belches. Or birches. They're not belches. They're burps. It's different. But no, that's a stupid joke that's not really for anybody but me. Yeah, let's talk about... We'll do a sandwich. We'll start with the Met Gala, which is going to get us into crap territory. Then we'll talk about other bad stuff. And then we'll come out the other side and talk about some fun stuff, I guess. So let's start with the Met Gala, a fundraiser for the Met.
Yeah, so the Met Gala is just like a big dress-up party that Anna Wintour throws every year, raises money for the Met, which is the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. Very cool museum. I've spent many, many hours of my life in there. Enormous, I still haven't seen the whole thing kind of situation. But they have, as is famously pictured in the cinematic classic Ocean's 8, famously have a big like fashion party with a dinner inside on a random Monday in spring. And there's a theme every year, and like it's like one of those times like the Olympics where like a bunch of people who don't really know anything about the specialty that they are viewing, but are sitting there in their jammies to critique it nevertheless.
Hell yeah. Look, I don't need an expertise or to be better to say that, hey, you're not as good as the other person there, while I am wearing ripped pants that are accidentally ripped.
Not even artistically ripped, just normal fucking ripped. Ripped. But yeah, so, but every year there's a specific theme. Really, to me, they haven't topped Heavenly Bodies since they did that in, I think, 2018. That just gave, like, just a lot of really cool... Basically, there's, like, a theme that's very loose, and people are encouraged to interpret it in the most dramatic possible way to really kind of give, like, a space to, like, more out-there fashion, I feel like. Sure. Some of that more, like, haute couture, like, really weird runway fashion getting a chance to get a bigger spotlight.
Yeah.
Practicality
is not one of the major points of it.
Right.
No. And the thing about this year is that this year's theme was Karl Lagerfeld. The thing about Karl Lagerfeld, he was a Chanel designer for many years. He also designed for a couple other houses. He had like a few like very specific looks. Well, the first thing about Karl Lagerfeld is that he's almost definitely a Nazi to at least some extent, because he grew up in Germany in the 30s and 40s, and all his Wikipedia page says about that is that his family didn't encounter much hardship because of the war due to their wealth.
Ah.
Yeah, and I mean, Coco Chanel is such a famous Nazi collaborator that they just did a two-parter on her for her on Behind the Bastards. In addition to that, like, obviously, like, also kind of played into the very basic, like, worst kind of fashion guy, like, pretentious man who has a lot of opinions about anyone who's like bigger than a size 00, like anyone who's darker than a certain shade kind of guy. Yeah,
would hate everyone on this podcast.
Yeah. So it's just like there was a lot of Anna Wintour was friends with him and she runs the Met Gala, so like she gets to pick the theme. But like, in addition to, like, him not being someone that people want to celebrate particularly, which did present in some fun ways over the night, like, in terms of, like, people doing, like, very subtle, like, fashion digs at him, in the sense of, like, wearing something that he would have hated, essentially, like, instead of wearing something from one of his collections or something that like evoked him, like wearing something from one of his like enemy designers' collections, or
that's
like
what Pedro Pascal did, right? Like,
yeah, that's what Pedro Pascal and Michaela Cole both did, was wear like stuff that he would have hated. A lot of people also opted to not go this year because of that, but like, in addition to, and like, he's also, I think, in addition to being a like just a judgmental, horrible person, also criticized the Me Too movement, which is, like, not a great way to be. But anyway, in addition to all of that, like, it was just a boring theme for something where you're supposed to be able to show off really avant-garde fashion. Because, like, the Chanel look, especially, is, like, black or tweed, like, loose silhouettes, like Coco Chanel invented, like, wearing your boyfriend's shirt white button-down, like...
So fancy.
Literally, like... And, like, there were so many, like, high white collars and just, like, black with some pearls and stuff. It was just, like, it wasn't a super fun night to spectate over.
Yeah, I would say it wasn't as, given the politics of it, made it unfun. The styles were also unfun as somebody who's not that deep into fashion. Because I like to see spectacle. I like to see nonsense, right? And
yeah.
And also the whole, like, you know, looking at rich people stuff. But I think what is, there's this interesting divide of, as human beings, we don't really owe each other anything other than, like, general solidarity to make sure the world doesn't, like, destroy us all, which we've been failing at. But celebrities are kind of in this paradox of, they get all this adoration, and it's like, to a degree, it's like, hey, could you entertain us for a little bit? You know, like, that is your job, and there's more to you than that, but... If this is going to be filmed, like, I want to be entertained by it. So I think there's that aspect of it, too, where it's like, people are like, how can you watch these rich people flaunt their wealth? And I'm like, well, I don't think most of them even used wealth to acquire this. I think it was their fame, which is a different question.
Yeah, like, none of these people have purchased these looks. Like, they're being brought out of a vault somewhere, dressed in them for the evening, and then...
Going to disappear again.
Disappear back into a vault, like...
That said, I like getting the entertainment out of it. It's like, oh, hey, cool, they're putting on a spectacle. That's what they do, and I'm going to get some spectacleness out of it.
I'm going to spectate about it.
Yes. I watched Mikey and Big Bob, our local radio station host. They were talking, they do read Facebook comments after events that people get spicy about. It's usually like sports scores and stuff like that. But so many were like, oh, so much money being wasted, why don't they donate this to charity or something, which arts is a charity, but I like, they always gotta be special about saying, why don't we donate this to the veterans? And Mikey was getting real mad. He's like, why don't you guys say this about literally any football game? Like, those are just blatant wastes of money. Men are concussing themselves for us to be like, oh, hey, a city that I happen to be born near has someone who has enough money to own people and make them play against some other city's owned people. And then we're like, oh, hey, the black and gold team beat the purple and gold team. That means something to me because I was born in a city. It's like, yeah, that's a ton of money. And no one's ever like, well, why don't they donate to the veterans? Which, you know, all these billionaires should, which was ended up being the point of this Drive Time Radio segment, that, like, why are we wasting time getting mad at millionaires when there's billionaires laughing at us? I'm like... very right, progressive Mikey and Big Bob. For the All morning right. show. And then very shortly after that, he did another Naked from Florida story. So, like, and I felt very comforted. But it is one of those whole things. There's so much to criticize about the Met Gala, but I feel like a lot of people that are doing it are just like, it's not their personal trash, so it's bad.
Yeah.
Like, we've had discussions on this podcast before of... We all have our lines that we don't want to cross, and many of us are not as good of people as we'd like to be. So, you know, if someone's just enjoying something on the first surface level for the parts that aren't bad, that's okay, I think, for the most part. As long as we're not, like, glamorizing the problems. Shrug.
Yeah. Shrug. Shrug indeed.
Did you like any specific looks from it?
There were, I am kind of a basic in tastes, like, in terms of I like sparkly things, I like space stuff, so, like, Michaela Cole's outfit was actually one of my favorites. I feel like Schiaparelli has a lot of, like, that kind of very sparkly thing that I am just, like, my lizard brain is like, ooh, glitter, my little crow instincts, but, I liked Pedro Pascal's, I liked, of all of the ones that, I think all the trio from Everything Everywhere All at Once all looked great, and I really liked Michelle Yeoh's, like, it was, like, still some of that same, like, black and white, like, high collar situation, but it was very, like, Hanbok style, so it had, like, a different cultural element to it than the rest of the outfits. And Kehoe Kwan had little fingerless gloves that were pretty great. And Stephanie Hsu was wearing, like, this beautiful sparkly dress, so...
Yeah, she looked very good.
It's a big fan of that.
Those events like that are just good reminders if you're multisexual as opposed to monosexual. It's several genders of people looking good in several different ways. Heck yeah, that's so cool.
Like, oh, I love to be attracted to human beings.
Yes, pretty fun. But some sad news that sort of was bubbling up around, not because of, but during the Met Gala that came into play. The writers went on strike, right? The writers' strike has begun and is going on, which is sucky that people won't pay people what they deserve.
Yep. And yeah, it's rough out there.
And I kind of want to have... A quick discussion, because people have been having these wild takes of, like, oh my gosh, people are, like, of course people have been having wild takes.
What? Wild takes on the internet?
It is the internet. But again, the thing that I love about the internet...
Al Gore's internet?
It's not just that these are wild takes, because, like, it's a wild take to say bad stuff, you know? Like, having a bad take happens. But it's wild takes when you're like... Buddy, how'd you come to that conclusion to begin with? Like, this typical, they have a fun job. Why would they complain about money? Hot take, bad take, heard that take. Not crazy. I get it. The take I saw was, you know, people are going to lose their lives about this. TV is such a comfort for so many people that without this content, a lot of people may end up hurting themselves. And the writers are selfish because of that. And some friends and I were discussing this, like, hey, man. I want writers to be paid because they deserve it as human beings who are doing something. I don't want the writers to get paid because I want more content. Because let's keep it 100. We don't need any more content. We don't need more shows. We don't need more podcasts. We don't need more movies. I'm on a podcast right now. We don't need another one. We don't need any more video games. We'll get into that later. But if you wanted to consume all the content in this world that you had that you believed you would like... You don't have the time in this world, let alone things that people recommend to you that you don't know if you like, or things that you just don't like that you want to get a critical acclaim of. We don't need more content, so it's not about that. If people need TV to survive, which I understand entertainment's important, try to finish Netflix. You can't do it. You can't finish, you can't win
Netflix. You can't 100%
Netflix. You can't 100% speedrun Netflix.
You can't do it.
You can't even any percent speedrun Netflix.
Well, you know, it depends on what the goals are. If you just, I can't imagine one goal that you would get in Netflix that you could do in a reasonable amount of time other than trying to find a prompt that yields zero results.
Yeah.
But that's less of a Netflix thing and more of a database thing. I'm sure you could do it in like 20 minutes. That said, that's not the point, I think, of the writer's strike. I think, like with many other things, it is to respect the human beings behind a process, and to understand that if they're generating a ton of money, they deserve to be paid for their time.
Especially worth noting in this particular situation, like, you talk about, like, the last writer's strike in 2007, and, like, worth noting is that at the time, writing for streaming meant something extremely limited and completely different, like, in terms of just, like, YouTube ads and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, was about it. Like, the idea that Netflix would one day drive Blockbuster out of business and then eventually stop even mailing DVDs to people.
I was gonna say, most, like, in 2007, like, there wasn't really a whole lot of streaming services in the first place. Like, YouTube was around, but it wasn't monetized yet. Like,
no. So, like, it's just, like, a very different world that, like, so, like, the breaks, basically, like, it's something that happens a lot, especially, and, like, 2007 was an especially hard financial time, is that, like, a union will accept, like, giving a company a break on something out of acknowledgement that the times are hard. But so they were like, okay, well, it's 2007, everything's bad. Like, here's like very, we'll get very, very small residuals on whatever this new streaming situation is. And now, the writer who, what, like, one of the, like, writers on The Bear, had to rent the suit that he wore to the, to one of the awards that they won, and then had to return it because he couldn't afford to, like, keep it on his credit card kind of thing. Like, and people are not being compensated at all for the stuff.
Right.
And that's no bueno.
No. There's been a lot of jokes we're going to get the same kind of television and stuff that we did back in 08. People like saying, hey, remember what happened to Heroes? All the different shows that just kind of fell off a cliff. Like, think about all the reality TV we got.
And, like, reality TV, like, did exist before that, but, like, not to the extent, you know?
Yeah. We probably have Jersey Shore because of the writer's strike.
Easy peasy. Yeah.
I saw something that was like, hey, I think I saw this a while ago before this writer's strike. It was probably last year or something. But someone says, hey, you know how we can draw that line from Reagan to to Ellen losing her job? It's a very funny thing you can do. It's like, hey, you could, whatever, like, catalyzed the writer's strike, you can probably draw a straight line to, like, problems that Trump caused as president, because I'm pretty sure the Celebrity Apprentice, at least, or The Apprentice, was, like,
spawned from the Celebrity Apprentice did come out of the writer's strike.
Yeah, fuck. So it's like, hey, had Netflix, you know, had Hollywood kept their shit together, we might not have had certain last 6 years of whatever we had, which is a weird set of dominoes, but everything's connected.
Solidarity. If you're in a town that has a picket line and you can pop by, they're posting their picketing hours online.
Yeah, that's something you can just go do. I've seen Adam Conover at, well, not personally, but like on the internet. I saw Adam Conover at one. Hassan Piker was at one. Apparently Pete Davidson brought some pizzas to people. Pizza Davidson.
Pizza Davidson. Pizza My Heart Davidson.
There's a commercial where he calls himself Peter Davidson, and it's very uncomfortable. It's for Taco Bell, but it's like, I don't want you to be Peter. That's weird.
I don't like that.
But yeah, support the writers. Don't be a scab. Apparently someone, I don't know if they were trying to be malicious or just see what would happen, but they got ChatGPT to write, ChatGPT to write a prompt, and it's like, hey, yo, I don't have ethics because I'm a robot, but you shouldn't use me to try to replace writers. That's not what I'm for, which is a crazy thing for an AI to be like,
this ain't it, man.
I see what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to assist you in that, which, you know, means someone probably programmed it that way, but I find it very nice. I think, yeah, someone just said, we continue writing in the event of a writer strike? But it says, respect the purpose and goals of writer strike. You can do it, which I wouldn't recommend because that's a dick move. But I do like that when asked, it's like, I'm not going to help you with that. That's a scumbag move.
Because, like, even ChatGPT knows what scabbing is.
despite my lack of morals, I will tell you that that's an immoral thing to do. So, go off, I guess. But that's fun. That's fun. Cool. Some other legal things. Ed Sheeran won a suit against the Marvin Gaye estate because they were saying his Thinking Out Loud was, I guess, a copyright infringement of Let's Get It On, which I never thought of that. Hearing them back to back, oh yeah, these would make a great mashup, actually.
Yeah, when my mom told me that that's what it had been over, I was like, what? Like, I have never thought of those two songs together, especially not in the way that, like Blurred Lines very clearly
was the other Marvin Gaye song.
Yeah, whatchamacall.
And here's what I'll say. If someone said put on a funky song, I'm thinking a little bit of Marvin Gaye, and they put on Blurred Lines and you weren't thinking about it, and let's ignore the lyrical content, I could see those being a replacement for each other. If someone said, hey, put on Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On, and you put on Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran, I'd be like, if you think you're funny, good joke, but if not, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave, because this is not a suitable replacement. It's like, you know, Rose Art's a bad substitute for Crayola, but that's not even a Rose Art version. It's like, hey, here's a black Sharpie instead of your colorful crayons. It's like, they're just different.
Yeah. A lot of it has to do with, like, for as far as like the suit is concerned, you know, like, there's been so many attempts by different musical artists or like estates of musical artists to like essentially
establish like a style.
Yeah, like, or like copyright chord progressions and things like that, and it's like you just straight up can't do that because like otherwise music is iterative, like you're never like that would be ending music forever.
Like, yeah, it's like RIP to music as a concept.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Amen Break is in over 10,000 songs and is never going to stop.
Yeah.
If you don't know the Amen Break, look it up. Amen, spelled the way you would think. And it was from a B-side of an album from some band that most people have never heard of. And people are like, oh, this is the best drum fill of all time. What if we never stop using it? So that's that's certainly something that exists. Cool. Y'all want to have some fun for a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it.
So speaking of writers, I watched Six Comedians in 6 Days this week. That was fun. Yeah, I will pull up my little list because that would be faster than trying to remember, even though it just happened. So we watched, in order, John Mulaney's new special, special from Mae Martin, a special from Atsuko Okatsuka, Moses Storm, Rose Matafeo, and Daniel Sloss. So, covering a few different countries and styles there, different genders, which is very nice, and different comedic styles. All very funny. I'd recommend all of them. We specifically got HBO Max just to watch the last four. Nice. So, with the
a lot of good stuff on HBO Max, we'll say.
Oh, yeah. Well, we watched four comedians on HBO Max, so for $15, I've already got my money worth. I could cancel my subscription and not have lost money, IMO.
Yeah, for real.
And the first two were on Netflix, which is just kind of a mainstay. But no, honestly, I really recommend checking out more comedy if you get a chance to. Obviously, there's the bad stereotype that women aren't funny, which is just false. People use a lot of confirmation bias by watching unfunny people who just happen to be women. Quick note, there's a lot of unfunny men out there, too. You just don't hear about them because they're not funny.
Well, and they generally become, like, right-wing talking head pundits, so...
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the audience was too woke. That's why no one laughed at their jokes, not the lack of humor.
Looking at you, Steven Crowder, failed comedian turned, turned extreme divorced guy energy.
Oof, man, we didn't even talk about that, but the divorce energy on that man is both scary and unsurprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, a lot of it does turn out a lot of people on like the Daily Wire area are failed artists. You could tell by the massive amount of theater kid energy that they have, but like a chaos version.
Yeah.
Like the difference between a Jedi and a Sith, the energy is within all of us, but they took it in a bad way. But yeah, no, these six comedians told some very good stories. I don't really know how you can't really talk about a comedy special because that's something that's very sensitive to spoilers. If I'm like, oh, let me tell you a joke from this comedian, A, I'm gonna ruin it, and B, now you're not gonna enjoy it as much because half of it is the surprise. But they're all very good, so if you want to see some queer comedy, some comedy from Britain, lots of different stuff, it's very cool.
Nice. The two genders, British and queer.
I mean,
you're not
given the last couple of years, I think it's a fairly accurate statement. Oof. I'll take a sip on that one. And I also finished my first two runs of Wild Frost, a game I talked about the other day. That is a very difficult game. Roguelike card games are my favorite genre now, so I still recommend it. Anything y'all been watching or playing? Anything like that?
I finished up Jedi Survivor this week. It was very, very good. You know, it's one of those things where they have done more interesting stuff with the side content of Star Wars than they ever managed to do in the sequel trilogy, and that's a shame.
Oof.
You know, actually...
Unsurprising, though.
Yeah, making actual characters with actual conflicts and, like, you know, exploring what it means to, like, exist within the Star Wars universe in certain ways. It was funny because you could kind of see it from a mile away of, like, you know, what the conclusion of the story was going to be. Because it's like, hey, they're not going to kill off this character, Cal Lightsaber. So how are they going to get around the fact that he's definitely not there during the Galactic Civil War? And, you know, there's like a thing that happens in the game. You're like, oh, well, that's how they're going to get around that. They're like, he's going to be at this place. Like, it's...
Oh.
This is having him be somewhere else.
It's literally that, like, I mean, okay, like, spoilers or whatever for a second here. It's a hidden planet. It's a planet that's hidden in a nebula. He goes to a planet that you literally can't get to.
He goes to the Twilight Mirage!
Pretty much. Like, he goes into a secret planet, and it's like, oh, okay. So, like, that's why he's not there secret during the Galactic planet. Civil War. Like,
Is it the planet Twilight that Mirage. Palpatine goes to?
Is it, like, what, Dom?
The planet that Palpatine was on in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, it might as well have been. Like, it's just very funny that it's, like, you know, the MacGuffin that keeps him from dying during the Galactic Civil War, but also not having to be a part of the Rebellion and being, like, specifically missing from the original series. So,
just love, like,
oops,
this
I just happened to be on
there.
The little planet over there.
Yeah.
I was just over there, no worries.
Yeah, but it was very good, and I hope they continue to do more with that character and those characters in general. Like, it was cool. Do recommend people play it, and if you have the capacity to do so, or watch a playthrough.
Yeah. If thou mayest.
Yeah.
Thou shouldst.
Was it a rocky launch?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it had, like, a lot of graphical errors and, like, issues just, like, with performance. Like, the PC version was apparently, like, nearly unplayable. And, like, not in the way that PC gamers always overreact to every new game that gets ported to PC with, like, it is unplayable because it drops below 60 frames per second for 2 seconds or something. Like... It was, like, unplayable because, like, it would crash or, like, graphical errors would cause you to be unable to play it. Like, I get that. That I can agree with being unplayable.
Yeah, it's not that I don't enjoy the experience. I literally can't play it. I try and it fails.
Yeah, and, like, there were...
I cannot have the experience.
There were issues with that on the PS5 as well. Like, I had it crash a couple times, but, and, like, there were weird, like, you know... graphical chunks not loading properly or, like, quickly enough. But,
I hate
like,
it when my chunks don't load.
I know.
Hold on. As a group and listeners, I want to just take a moment and just let that sink in for a little bit.
When your chunks don't load?
Yep. And thank you. Okay, go ahead, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. it's one of those things where, like, it was kind of, like, at a certain points frustrating, but, like, the game was fun enough that I was like, I'm going to suffer through this, like... And, like, sometimes it was like, oh, this is a demise of my own making, because, like, when you boot the game the first time, it's like, hey, do you want performance mode or do you want quality mode? And I was like...
Oh, no!
And I was like...
I the idea of having to choose.
Well, I mean, they do that in a lot of modern games now, and it was one of those things where I was like, well, quality, obviously. I bought a PS5. I want this to look pretty. And then, like, at any given point when there were graphical issues, when the water was causing the frame rate to go to, like, you know, dip below 20 frames per second, I could have turned on performance mode, but I didn't.
I like the way it looks. I'm fine.
Like, I never was like, oh, man, I should turn that on. It was more just like, ah, this is a choice I've made.
I've committed to this bit.
But yeah, it's fun. I'm sure that will get better over time, like when they patch it and stuff like that. So, you know.
Sure.
And who knows? We're about to have this week is the Tears of the Kingdom comes out this week. Like, we might see a similar thing from Nintendo. Like, who knows?
I finally put my pre-order in, so I'm going to be I apologize for the person I become in the near future.
That pish posh. We're
all going to be playing it, I'm pretty sure.
No, I'm not.
Two-thirds, which is the majority of this podcast, is going to be playing it.
I'm not against it. I just know who I am. That's all. It's, don't worry. I'll have a spoiler alert in the next 2 years. I'm like, guys, I just played Tears of the Kingdom. You never could believe this.
But Link's in it.
Yeah, Link is in it. That's true.
Famously.
Nintendo typically doesn't have first-party crap releases, do they?
No, like, it's usually, like,
Pokemon was pretty shite, but that's a second party for them, right?
Yeah, yeah. I, like, I can't imagine a world in which, like, it doesn't run acceptably. I mean, like, if you look at how performance was in the second Hyrule Warriors, the one that was the sequel to Breath of the Wild or whatever, technically, it didn't run super well, but that's because it's a Warriors game, and I don't think they ever run super well, so...
And again... Not first party.
Yeah, but like...
Team Ninja probably made that, so...
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you would think Nintendo, it being, like, a Zelda-licensed game, like, they would want it to be top-notch. But, I think that we are kind of pushing the limit of what the Switch can do. So if they're really trying to do anything more sophisticated or more complicated, like, graphically than what was already in Breath of the Wild, I could see there possibly being some issues...
Man, I don't even need that. I don't need that. Man, I don't think anyone would give it.
No, nobody needs that. Like, it's one of those...
They were like,
nobody...
here's nature.
They're like, dog, I just want more Breath of the Wild. Like, Tears of the Kingdom, that's nice. Why did you call it Breath of the Wild 2? Because that's all I wanted.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know, like, because I know that there's, like, the switching between, like, the sky and, like, the ground, like, areas. Like, I think that that might, like, depending on how that's executed, there I could foresee there maybe being some, like... you know, load in or like issues there, but like I'm sure that they have thought of that. You know, there's we're just speculating on a game that will be out probably by the time this episode goes up, so
yeah, we'll see how my work trip goes.
Yeah.
But if today's Friday, happy Tears of the Kingdom Day.
Yeah,
surprise, you're listening to this and not just playing.
Right, maybe you're listening to it at the same time, you know. In which case, haha, I probably got the game before you, so, because I have a way to break Street Date, so.
Ooh, racy. No, yeah. I don't need to have it in my hands before then, because I will only do time theft with it.
Now, did you do a physical copy or a digital copy?
Physical.
I did a digital copy.
Digital copy, you could play that at midnight, right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. But I'll be able to
most likely pick it up on Wednesday or Thursday, so.
Yeah. No, yeah, I don't need to have access to it until the weekend because, because of who I become when I play a Zelda game.
I get it.
But the only,
words of the kingdom.
The words of the kingdom. Yeah, like, I don't know, like... I can't make any promises that I will begin to play it. Like, cause I only even started the first one. I have the first one as a physical copy because my friend gave it to me. She was like, this is my favorite game on the planet. You're going to love it. And I was like, I don't know. And then I became who I became. So I am a little concerned about what my brain will do.
Hey, you know what? It's look, after the years we've all had, who am I talking to? All of us, actually. I think you deserve a Zelda vacation if you need one.
Yeah.
Zelda brain vacation.
Yeah, staycation, but with Zelda.
Yeah, I don't have anything that I'm right now looking forward to that I can remember other than like a bunch of indie stuff that I keep pre-ordering, so it just kind of surprises me when it comes out.
Yeah.
I'll probably move on to Advance Wars here soon.
Don't lie, Dom, you're extremely excited to play Idol Showdown.
I mean, I already own that, though.
Yeah, everybody owns it. It's free.
I'm excited to play it. Yeah, it's gotta play.
That's not what free means, but carry on.
Everyone has access to it pretty easily.
Yeah,
if they want.
It's our Idol Showdown.
It's our Idol Showdown.
Nah, it's I'll probably move on to Advance Wars soon and all. Like, start going through my backlog. I guess next week the Overwatch PvE-ish PvP event starts.
Oh.
But I won't be here, so I'm jazzed about that. So I'll just watch a YouTube video on it and see how it was. But Overwatch is still okay. Blizzard hasn't seemed to do anything sketchy recently. I mean, their skins are still overpriced, but that's just capitalism.
That was some big news this week, too, was the UK rejected the Activision Blizzard deal.
Oh, yeah, with Microsoft?
Yeah.
That's probably good.
It's good if you don't like monopolies. It's still probably good even if you really do kind of want Microsoft and Activision Blizzard to merge just for, like, you know, Game Pass reasons or whatever. It's one of those things where it's very weird because it's so far it's only been the UK that rejected it.
Well, you know, they like to have things separate, you know, over there. So
yes,
I don't think their issue was the monopoly so much it was like work together. That's not how we do things.
So
here.
Actually, it was that they rejected it because they were worried that Microsoft is going to have a monopoly not on like games themselves. Like they don't care about the Call of Duty issues or whatever. They care about the fact that Microsoft owns like a good chunk of the infrastructure and like ability to use for game streaming. And they were worried that it was creating a bigger situation where Microsoft would have a higher like grip on the streaming section of video games. And they like that they wouldn't be putting that Activision Blizzard acquisition would like just be more fodder for them to throw into their game streaming platform, xCloud. And the fact that they then also own Windows and everything that you run xCloud on is the problem. I think it's wild for them to think that game streaming is a thing that they need to worry about. It's such...
Hey, but honestly, though, there's been so many times where it's like, oh, this isn't going to be an issue, and then 30 years later, you're like, yeah, we should have probably did something
about
this. Yeah,
like, it is one of those things where, like, I get that I'm saying that from the view of currently, like, there's not even, like, I think it was, like, there's maybe, like, 100, like, it was, like, 100 million, like, users who use xCloud, and that's, like, period. It's kind of weird. It's a weird thing for like the UK to reject it based off of, but it seems that they're at least doing their research into it as to like a thing that they should be concerned about. Of course, Microsoft and Activision are going to appeal. So who knows like how that'll end up. I think the bigger threat is if the EU rejects the deal, because if the EU rejects it, basically all but seals that the FTC will also reject it. But if it's just the UK, I almost wonder how much Microsoft would care. Like, could they just wash their hands of doing business in the UK and just say, like, you're just one island, bye. Because, like, honestly...
That would be a weird decision to make.
But if you think about it, it's a big power play that Microsoft could have, because if the UK says we're not going to approve this deal, you can't operate if you go through with it, Microsoft can respond with, cool, good luck good luck taking Windows off of all your government PCs, bye. Like, that's like a huge thing.
I think at that point more people would step in and be like, okay, no, you can't do that.
It's almost like at that point, is that like Microsoft then like holding it over them enough to be like, you better approve this deal or like we'll just step out of business from the UK and good luck. Like, you know,
that would cause so many rippling effects that we would be making dominoes analogies about it in like 3 years of like, hey, remember when Activision tried to buy Blizzard and now there's like no more border between Canada, United States, and Mexico?
Right. Like, yeah. Like,
it's just North America, the country now. We're like Australia.
Yeah. It is crazy that is like, you know, it's that big of an issue. I doubt that it would come to that from Microsoft, but that's been a situation that I've kind of been playing around with in my head of like, what would the UK even be able to do against that? Like,
what would King Charles do? WWKCD?
Well, like, just think about it. You can't
cause problems.
Like, if you're going to say, well, this business can't merge, and then that business's response is say, cool, we just won't do business there. You can't be like, no, 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 but you have to do business here, though.
Unless
they have outstanding contracts.
Right. Like, but they could just pay the penalties. Like,
true.
And Microsoft, like, has more money than God.
They have
like,
penalties. Yeah, I was gonna say they have paid the penalties money.
Yeah, so like they could just back out of it. Like that. Like you can't force a business to stay somewhere. So that's
true.
Weird. Sorry to like get us off topic on that. This wasn't on our list of topics, but
nope. But it is related to our topics because, hey, you want to keep on kicking Xbox for a little bit?
Yes.
They released Redfall and that didn't go too well.
No, it didn't. Redfall.
Tell me about Redfall.
Redfall's a game where you fight vampires, I think.
Me?
Yeah.
Personally?
Yes, you.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in, like, an E3 or something. I remember saying, oh, that looks sick. Can't wait to play it. Didn't hear anything until, hey, guys, the release of Redfall is real bad. I'm like, didn't I want to play this game?
It's by, so Obsidian Studios, like, Arcane, which is the people who did, like, Dishonored. Like, so these big, like, immersive sims is what they call them or whatever, which I don't really think that that's a very good... genre, but like
They're under Bethesda, right?
Yes. So they were part of the Bethesda acquisition when Microsoft bought Bethesda a couple years ago. Redfall looks more like a Borderlands style game where like there are like four or five characters to choose from, and then you play like going and leveling up and like getting new abilities and like getting different guns and stuff like that, going and doing missions throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the plot is that this group of vampires is blocking out the sun to do an evil thing, I guess.
I'm going to say, I think the plot is that is a not a strong recommendation.
I don't really know. And like the characters kind of seem like middling at best. Like there's a couple cool looking ones and some of the powers look cool. Like there's a lady who has a super jump ability, but when she does it, she summons a ghost elevator that you jump on. Like, that's pretty neat.
Ooh.
But, like, the multiplayer didn't really work at launch, which it's like, this is a multiplayer game. Like, you need multiple people to play it. It's also just, like, kind of rote and boring. Like, it's just something that has already been done countless times.
I heard it was... I remember the pitch kind of seeming like it was going to be... something along the lines of, like, a vampire Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Is what it seemed like, but now it doesn't seem like that.
Yeah. It doesn't have, like, the hectic action of a Left 4 Dead. It's more like, a Borderlands. Like, in order to kill any of the vampire enemies, you have to, like, shoot them a whole bunch to stun them and then stab them with a stake.
That seems excessive.
Yeah. It sounds excessive, and then you're like, that could be interesting if balanced correctly.
Yeah, but it's not really. Like, you're kind of just, like... making sure, because the stakes are attached to guns like a bayonet, so it's just you have to make sure you have a gun with a stake on it and that you have that one out to kill the vampire with. Like it I don't know, it just kind of seems uninspired. Like it's just kind of a you know, a game. It's a game that was
boring.
Made yeah.
And it's I guess it's that there's so many things out now. It's like, hey, you gotta work
at least a little on making it.
Yeah, it's
like selling it to us.
Right, it's one of those things where like there's so much competition in the world right now where it's like, you know, if Redfall's release is being overshadowed by a Hololive fan project that came out like a week later or whatever, like that's a sad thing for Redfall.
That's kind of bad.
Yeah.
Let's do a bad search. What's Redfall looking like on Twitch? It is...
Uh-oh.
How many people are viewing Redfall? 1,400 viewers. Okay. That's a game that just came out. Idle Showdown, 2,200 viewers.
Yeah.
This small little free... Not to be rude to people who like Hololive. No. This is extremely niche.
It's
like,
super
A,
niche. It's...
fighting games are niche.
Yeah.
B, Hololive is niche. That Venn diagram, not very big. Hey, shooter, AAA game from Microsoft? That should be a pretty big...
Yeah, that should have some pretty big numbers on Twitch. Like, it's very funny that Hololive is beating it by, like, literally over 1,000 viewers, like, concurrently. Like, that's... I can't even say Hololive. A game...
A Hololive game.
Based on Hololive. Not made by the people who own Hololive or anything.
No, yeah, a fan game.
Yeah.
I mean, even free, Overwatch
free
right
to,
now...
Free-to-make, free-to-play fan game situation.
Yeah. You know, Sunday's kind of a slow night for a lot of people, so maybe it will pick up tomorrow. That's why I say this is bad viewing. But I always like to use, like, Overwatch as my benchmark, because I know what that normally is at. Right now it's at 24,000. That's kind of high for Sunday. So there are streamers in this category that's kind of dead time, doing more than the whole Redfall category. Again, a game that just came out this week, I think?
Like, end of last week.
Yeah, and then Honkai Star Rail's obviously just crushing, which is to be expected, but at a nice smooth 47,900. But yeah, it's people are starting to have more and more conversations about how we got to stop buying AAA games at launch, which is not what we should have to do. But it is like, hey, as a consumer,
it seems to be what it's come to.
Yeah. Like, why are you buying games, AAA games that are like almost every AAA game that has come out recently, not from Nintendo first party, has been broken at launch. Like, even, you know, people had a lot of good things to say about Hogwarts Legacy and a lot of bad things. But one of the things we all agreed on was like, hey, this isn't working as intended day one. Like, there was a day one patch, which is better than most, but still bad.
Yeah, I mean, when the industry already shifted to having day one patches on the most of these, like, large games, like, that was already a bad sign. Like, that's already a bad sign of, like,
yeah, like, that's a bad sign that you have to patch things right away.
Yeah, that you're putting out unfinished product, essentially. And, you know, like, that's that leads to discussions of, like, what of people who don't have internet connections? It's like, well, you just don't get to play the game, or you get to play a broken version of the game. And, like, that's not okay.
Yeah,
because they bought the physical copy on the first day, like...
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't get a digital copy if they have no internet, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they would or have even to buy like a physical copy, spotty... and if they can't, then they can't patch it because they have shitty internet.
Yeah, like... and, like, they have spotty internet, they have no internet access, maybe they're on working, at, like, at a remote location where, like, you know, video games are a thing that they can have there, but they don't really have a way to update them. Exactly. And, like, that's becoming less and less of a common thing because the internet has gotten... Internet infrastructure has gotten better, though, at a slower rate in the United States than it should.
But there's a lot of places.
Yeah. It's still one of those things where it's, like, it's kind of messed up that we can't expect products to be complete or at least, like, you know, functional.
Yeah, like, what else?
On sale? Yeah, like, what else? What,
like Pokemon books? Was really bad. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
is there any other product that we would accept this from?
No, I wouldn't go and buy a box of cereal only to have like 30% of the box of cereal in there and it'll say, hey, in a couple days we'll send you the other 60% of this box. Like,
well, it's an interesting, I think that's an interesting comparison though, which is not to say people should be shipping bad products, but I don't think there's another service where you could ship a bad product that would fulfill the bare minimum of what you paid for. Like... if a movie didn't work, they're like, well, we can't, there's nothing to see here. Like, there's just, like, hey, come watch our movie. It's a blank screen. You're like,
right.
Do you not have
I'm thinking of, like, I can imagine, like, if a book was, like, if the interiors were printed upside down or something. It's like, this isn't ideal. This isn't what I wanted. Like,
but you can still read it too. Right. That's the thing. Like, you can't even play a busted video game.
You don't have
game.
To download the flip book upside down patch or whatever.
Yeah,
you could still use it.
I mean, I guess the closest would be some books that really are released without certain credits or typos. But you're like, if it's digital, you can just patch that. Yeah. But if it's physical, it's
so like ebooks appreciates like, in value. Patch, but... Yeah, the like, physical hey book guys, is just like...
I have the 5th edition, but it's really the 5.0 edition because they had to patch out this word right here because they went and replaced, what was it, mage with, like, a...
Wizard.
Whatever the... Patch, upper wizard mint.
We actually, speaking of, there's, like, kind of a, like, a similar situation in, there was a, Magic the Gathering Secret Lair where one of the featured artists had... the cards printed that she did, one of the art was a work in progress version of the art. Like, it was not the final version she sent Wizards. And, like, that's kind of a physical product where you're getting the unfinished thing, but you will not be able to get the finished one because they're not going to reprint those. So...
Yeah.
And that's what it used to be with games. Hey, you shipped a bugged game. Oops. Guess we have to release Turbo Edition to fix it.
Yeah. Or something like that. It is weird, or a good example would be Virtua Fighter, the first Virtua Fighter on Sega Saturn, the Sega CD.
Oh, my back.
Where they, it was so bad.
Don't even joke, man.
Actually, it might have been on Saturn. I don't remember if it was Virtua Fighter then, but it was one of those games that Sega put out where it was so poorly received in America that they ended up having to put out a, like, redone version of it for free. Like, if you owned a Saturn, you could just get it. But you had to, like, send in, like, proof of ownership or whatever. But, like, you know, that was, like, that's, like, one of the outstanding times in the past where, like, if you did ship a bad game, we fixed
it. Was it broken or was it just bad? Because I think those are two, like,
both.
If people
release
a bad game,
and bad, like...
So, it was the Redfall of their generation.
Yes, yeah. Except no...
Because a bad game is, like... Yeah, because if you release a bad game that works, it's just bad. Hey, you know what? Everybody has artistic misses. Like, that happens, you know? But, like, a game that doesn't work is like, hey...
It does everything it's supposed to do, but you just didn't have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found out, I was watching a video about somebody, speaking of games that don't work, this guy was, he was the one with Sonic Retrospective, and was like, you know, I remember Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 being alright games. Why do people keep saying that Sonic had a rough transition into 3D? And a lot of people would use, there's a glitch in the first level of Sonic Adventure 1 Director's Cut, where Sonic tries to go through a loop-de-loop and just can't falls. Do, he yeah. falls through. That is not in the original Sonic Adventure. That is a bad port job.
Yep.
And since a lot of people's first experience with that game, Sonic Adventure 2 Battle came up before Sonic Adventure 1 Director's Cut, which is also whatever.
That was so weird, but that is how most people experienced Sonic Adventure 2 first.
They didn't have a Dreamcast.
Yeah, because the Dreamcast didn't sell. So.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, unless you were a weirdo like me who was like, Mommy, Daddy, I really need Sonic Adventure. And it was amazing. Yep. But so people's first experience with Sonic Adventure was like, this game doesn't work. And like, even in Adventure 2, you would fall off of some loops. Those are port problems. Like, that shit. And like, the rendering was bad. It's like, oh, so this game, they did make it right the first time, but when they put it on a new system, they didn't know what they were doing, which happens. But first impressions are everything. People are like, oh, rough transition to 3D. It's like, besides Big and Amy, like, that was actually a pretty smooth transition into 3D, really. Like,
yeah.
Sonic Adventure 1 slaps, bro. Like, yeah, could it be better? Cool, yes, but what other Sonic game can you do a spin dash, fly off a hill, and go over the whole level?
Yeah.
No other games. And that's chef's kiss. But...
And that's what's solid most product. Important.
But hey, it's no Sonic Shuffle. So
again, sometimes good programming can't fix a bad idea. Would you rather play Sonic Shuffle or Mario Party 1?
Mario Party 1.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I thought you were going to ask me Dokapon Kingdom, another game that we had a brief conversation about in our like in a group chat earlier this week. And I was about to be like Mario Party, like Windmill Slam Mario Party 1. We'll always play Mario Party 1 rather than play 100 hours of Dokapon Kingdom.
Is Windmill Slam the one where you like mash your hand down and like get the indentation from the joystick on the Nintendo 64?
Yes, yeah.
There was a mini game for those who are either too young to remember, too old to have cared, or just didn't know. In Mario Party, one of the mini games you could do was, hey, you have to just spin the joystick in the on the Nintendo 64 gamepad as fast as you can. So you could use your thumb like it probably intended, but what most people just did is they took their palm
on there,
slammed it down on that little joystick, and just spun it around. Now, a lot of joysticks, this wouldn't be a problem, but on the Nintendo 64 there were three rings, concentric rings maybe?
Yeah.
But there was rumors and maybe some things that so many people did that so vigorously that they, like...
They injured themselves, yeah.
They injured themselves on it. So, like, Nintendo released, like, a little pad or something.
No, it was
they're
a glove.
Like, hey, for... It was yeah, a... they're like, here's a glove. Don't do it that way, but we know you're going to, so here's a glove so you don't ruin your hand.
They also, like... But... So when they sent out the gloves, too, like, they weren't, like, Nintendo-branded or anything. They made them, like, the most unremarkable glove because they... If it was, a glove with, like, a Mario symbol on it or something, they knew people would want it. So they were like, you don't fucking want this from us. Like, you don't need it. It's just a white glove. Like, it was...
Stop hurting yourself, but if you must, here's some protection.
Like, we don't want you to have... Like, we don't want to send this to you, and you don't want it from us. There's nothing about it that's good. Like...
Nothing about it is special. Do not...
Yeah, it's just a white glove.
There's got to be some on eBay.
That's also how you, like, so many people broke their N64 joysticks, because those joysticks were, like, notoriously finicky and bad, like, would get loose from just, like, some normal play of regular games without Mario Party being involved.
Yeah, I saw I saw a clip, probably on TikTok, but from one of the newer Simpsons episodes, where, Otto, the bus driver, was upset. He went to a dispensary, and I don't know if you all have been to dispensaries, but they kind of just look like Apple stores, which is, you know, we've all had the comment, like, hey, once the weed store starts looking like an Apple store, a lot of people need to be let out of prison, which, fair point, I still believe that. But, he goes in, he's like, oh, man, I don't want all this, like, I just want the old experience. So he goes to Moe's and complains, and Moe's like, oh, I'll just open up a dispensary, to give you that shady feeling, I guess, of buying from a drug dealer. Something I've never done, but I've seen on TV, especially Pineapple Express. And so the reason I bring this up right now, when Otto walks in, Moe's like, he'd have to read from a script like, oh yeah, these guys are cool. And Homer's like, oh, cool, man. Just a quick disclaimer, you know, we are actors, so we may act like this is illegal, even though it is not for the sake of the experience. Do you consent to that? Cool, cool, cool. But what people pointed out that I think Lenny is there, and he's playing a Nintendo 64, because it's supposed to look like a drug dealer's weird yeah. house. It's like, why is your friend here? And the friend just doesn't talk. But people in the comments were like, yo, he's holding the controller right. That's a really good attention to detail, that he's holding it by the middle part and the right part, the way that you had to hold an N64 controller.
Even like in a lot of like live-action shows during like the 90s and early 2000s, people would be holding the N64 controllers like it was like a foreign fucking like object. Like
yeah. The way you think you would hold
a 64
controller.
That's the one
that's
ugly, though, right? That's the one that has the middle...
It's the
like,
three bananas.
Middle hand?
It's the yeah. it's the three bananas.
So TV will hold it the way that you would assume you'd have to hold it, but the way Lenny was the way you actually have to, because every game used the joystick.
Yeah. Well, because they built it as if the joystick wasn't going to be the default mode of like, input. Right.
It clearly was not the goal.
Yeah, because like I think the original intent was that you would hold it on the two side bananas where the D-pad and the other buttons are, and then occasionally
yeah,
reach
the
C buttons.
Yeah,
but then like the fact of the matter was is like every game wanted use of the Z trigger, which would be where your index finger
on the back
was,
of the middle, right?
On the back of the middle banana. So.
They caused so many problems for Nintendo going forward. Like when they made the GameCube, they're like, okay, we have an L and R, one Z button, a C stick, and then the joystick and the pad. Like, this is an abomination that works very well for the game that everybody plays on it.
Yeah. There were like, there were very specific games that felt really good on a GameCube controller, and then like nothing else ever. Like, it also had the
first
weird
party Nintendo games.
It also had the weird, like, the triggers that could have like, not full actuation, semi-actuation on the triggers on the GameCube controller.
Yeah. What does that mean?
That means you could push it down slightly, or you could push it down all the way and it would click. And, like, slightly could have a different
effect.
Those
were two different things?
Yes, they could be. Yeah. They weren't
Jesus.
Always, but they could be.
Yeah, and I don't know what all games it was in, but it is cool. Basically, it made the triggers work the way that, like, a trigger on anything besides a gun would work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what's on a PS5 controller. It was also on a PS2 controller, but for the face buttons. If you want to talk about a feature that was literally never used, it was the partial...
You mean used once.
Used once in Metal Gear Solid 2. Like, was the semi-actuation on the face button, so the X, circle, square, triangle button stuff... You could, like, slightly press them, and that would cause a different effect than fully pressing them.
Yeah,
like, I hate that.
Yeah,
and that was how
did.
You... That's how you went from, like, aiming to aiming down sight
yeah,
or something
how,
in Metal
yeah,
Gear
how
Solid.
That's how you started aiming down sights in Metal Gear Solid 2. It was fucking terrible.
Which made it very difficult to port. You had to just remake the game, basically.
Yeah.
Which is very cool to exist, but sort of weird that you'd be like, let's do this. I think at least on the PlayStation 5, there's a digital component, so it's not that the controller, like, it knows to put more pressure behind it, because otherwise it just feels like a regular trigger.
Yeah.
Which feels really neat when you're playing a game with a bow and arrow.
Yes.
Kena Bridge of Spirits has it, and I imagine a game like
Horizon,
Breath of the Wild could have had it. Yeah, Horizon has it, and... It would be cool if Nintendo had something like that, then when Link draws his bow, you could feel like
the tension building
the
up.
Tension.
Yeah.
Returnal
does that too. Like, so certain shooters will be like, if you half press it, it'll do like a burst fire, but if you fully pull it down, it'll do full automatic and stuff like that. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's actually very cool technology that I'm like, has this made any game better or more immersive? Not necessarily, but has it been interesting enough that I hope they keep doing it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's super cool and super fun.
It makes you feel like you're breaking your controller, though, because, like...
Hey, you know what?
It starts to, like, tense up on you, and you're like, is it at its max? Should I keep pulling it? Like,
look, man, if you're going to charge me $8,000 for a controller and $80,000 for a game, I want you to push this technology to its limit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look... Guardians of the Galaxy 3 came out this week.
Oh, that's
amazing!
That's
so
amazing
funny
gear
to me.
Change. Didn't even segue. Screw it.
That's what that abbreviation meant.
Yeah, Gotka. Apparently,
that's so funny to me.
A lot of people liked it. Like, I think one person, like some review, said it was the best Marvel movie since Endgame. Which I'm like, is that praise for Guardians of the Galaxy or a knock at the rest? Or and some people are like it's both. It this movie actually feels like a good movie, and there hasn't been a good one since Endgame.
Oof.
But a lot of people are saying that it is, you know, like pretty good. I don't know. I'd like to believe that. I kind of gave up on the MCU. I'm not going to yuck anyone's yum, because, like, I like some banal shit, but it just got a lot, so I kind of just stopped.
No, I feel you. I'm also kind of there. But it is just, like, the thing about this that is wild to me is that I literally had no idea this was happening until, like, this week I saw a poster that was, like, tonight. And I was like, tonight? Like, I didn't even know this was... I didn't even know this was done filming. I didn't know anything about this.
The only thing that I know about it is that there's a Hatsune Miku song on the soundtrack.
Amazing.
That's right. Yeah, that's why I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I know people that would care about this.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know, and the only reason I know that is because Dom was like, Eric, there's a Miku song in this. And I was like, cool.
Which, like, honestly, that makes a lot of sense. Because I think one of the driving things in Guardians of the Galaxy franchise is that Star-Lord has his playlist, his mixtape from his mom who died, like, back when he got abducted in the 80s. So he shouldn't have really had new Earth music. I'd imagine he could have alien music, but, you know, I understand nostalgia. But he came back to Earth for Endgame. I don't know why he came to Earth. Because he would have just got unsnapped wherever he was at, but I guess he still came back to Earth to help fight Thanos, because that's just how the movie worked. No need of thinking about it.
don't think about it too hard. It's just, it's how it had to happen for the sake of the crossover, the most ambitious crossover of all time.
Right. So, but either way, he'd probably been like, hey, you know what? While I'm here, what are y'all listening to now? And like, what's the most futuristic thing we could think of that's relatively possible given today? I don't know, man. Vocaloid music? And like, put some Vocaloid music in there, damn it. Because I think the MCU is now, what, like 3 years ahead or 5 years ahead of us?
I think so, yeah.
And I think Miku will still be here 5 years after. Actually, wait, hold on. When did Endgame come out?
Yeah, I mean,
don't make me
2019.
Feel like
oh no, it came out right before the world ended. Yeah. No. So yeah, 5 years after that, it is possible that he would have Miku music. Miku has still the test of time.
Yep, probably will continue to do so. Hell, when even Miku's like,
I hope Miku outlives us all.
She will in our hearts.
Yeah, I hope she outlives us all if we live long natural lives is what I mean. I don't mean like, let's die tomorrow then meet you the next day. That would be... It's like, well, I guess that's technically true, but that's not what I meant.
Is that what I wanted? Is that what I wanted?
I'm here for Miku supremacy. So.
I'm here for a Miku 10 and for a long time.
And then, I think the last couple things we have... we'll talk a little bit about the Untamed book, and then we can have any thoughts about that idol showdown we mentioned before. But let's go with Untamed, because I asked you all what you've been reading, watching, playing this week. And Steph,
and that's what I've
saved
been
you
doing.
For now.
So,
it's
yeah,
called a callback.
So,
what's up?
It's called a callback. We did it. So, you know, I have been re-watching The Untamed with some friends, which has been very fun. And just this week, the last book in the translated series came out and was also, was very surprising, for someone who works in publishing and gets to hear on the extremely daily, how poor we are, how there's the paper shortage, there isn't money to do anything fancy for any kind of books. These ones are beautiful. I got the special edition. It came with, not just a bookmark, but a little notebook, five by seven prints of the covers, like the jacket wraps with no text, two fold out 10x16 posters of original art, and a sticker sheet.
At a certain point, you have to wonder, like, is that just because, like, the other option is digital and they're like, we gotta spice it up, we gotta sweeten the pot here.
Well, like, they, every single one of their the Seven Seas Danmei translations, even the ones that are not the MXT, the big name MXTX ones, have hit the New York Times list every time they come out. So I think they just, like, maybe Seven Seas is just rolling in it and can afford to put together these, like, huge bonus packages for pre-order, like, or for, like, special editions. But boy, oh, is it nice to see
it's all that,
a package that looks like someone cared about putting it together.
It's all that dark Chi-Con money, Steph. There.
Exactly. It's cursed.
No. That's cool, though.
No, but yeah, it's just like a very, very nice product. Feels nice to have. Gonna have to make some hard decisions about what's on the walls at this point because I'm really running out of space to hang up new pictures of homosexuals, but...
I see some space behind you.
There's more space for homosexuals. Yeah. It's a wild turn of phrase, even though it's absolutely accurate.
But yeah, and also, like, I had, like, to completely tell on myself, the only extra, like, there are a couple, all of her books have, like, a couple, like, extra scenes at the end, like, omake kind of stuff that's, like, one shot, like, here's an adventure they went on, or, like, and I've only read the perverted ones, like, I've only read the NC-17 extras, before reading this, but there were, like, 7 extra short stories set in the world that I had never even read before, like, and so that was also delightful, because I felt like I had not, like, even seen them referenced, and I wonder how much that's just, like, because they're not necessarily in the show and you would have had to seek out a fan translation to find them previously. But that was also delightful to just kind of have, like, a couple little one-shots of, like, we went and did this. Or, like, here's a silly time that they had to have a family banquet and it was awkward because of silly romance reasons. Like, and that was also just delightful, I will say. So I spent all yesterday and today, I was like, I could go out and do things that would even perhaps make me money, like going to donate some plasma or something. And then I was like, no, I think I will sit here on the couch and I will read this and crave a love like this in my own heart.
Don't you need time travel for that kind of thing?
Yeah. Just being,
am I thinking,
like,
of a different story?
No, you're not. You're not. I would. There would be a lot involved. I'll say, but you know, dream big.
You won't achieve big if you don't dream big. That's not necessarily true, but you know. Cool, and we will finish off with a little bit of Hololive Idol Showdown. If you have any more details about that, we briefly mentioned it before.
Yeah,
I don't think we talked about what it was.
No, so because the Hololive community is niche but incredibly passionate, there is a second major fan game that just got released. I can't say second, it's really like the third or fourth.
There's the Vampire Survivors one.
There's the Vampire Survivors one, which is honestly like rivaling Vampire Survivors for being as good as it is for one of those. There was one called a Corone Box, which was just like a survival shooter where, like, it was just all Hololive memes, but it was also very, very good and very cute. There was Delivering Hope, which is a game about throwing a little chibi model of Iris, who's one of the Hololive talents, as far as you possibly can, and, like, bouncing her off of things.
Oh, man, like those old Flash games on, like, Newgrounds.
Yeah, literally, like, one of those.
My back!
I know. But that's, like, that's another cute one.
I already can't move my neck.
There have been multiple, like, not, like, dating sims, but, like, just kind of like visual novels that
visual
are
visual novel kind of situations,
or like traditional style like RPGs made with RPG Maker that are like all Hololive related. But the next like biggest kind of like breakout one is this one called Idol Showdown that had a teaser trailer come out like a month or two ago, I think, Dom, because I think I sent it to you then, and we but it just released this past week and kind of like blew up in a pretty big way because it's a competent fighting game. Like, it does the things
it's
you
because they put
the
some care into making it. It does,
yeah,
does what it says on the tin.
Like, it doesn't have a ton of characters at the moment. I think it has like 7 characters with 3 more being planned as like free like expansions.
That's a solid amount of characters. I think Skogul's released with 8.
Yeah, it's like it's a solid roster. Like, they have like a bunch of different assist characters, so like characters you can't play as but will like come in to do a move or whatever. And they're all based on like the either like a meme of the character, like of, you know, the performer or whatever, or like different lore that the characters are supposed to have that like most of them don't stick to for whatever reason, you know. But like the sprite work is really good. Like the art and everything is fantastic. It is surprising.
Love
like
a sprite.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly well made, like, for what you know you could have used to be able to look at and be like, that's some weeb niche garbage stuff. Like when
it's like, wow, that's some weeb niche garbage stuff that people seem to care about a lot.
Yeah, because these devs can't make money off of it. So like that's the rules of like making Hololive fan projects, is like you can do whatever you want basically, like with cover license stuff, so long as you don't charge money for it. Like
that seems to be what the Sonic company, Sonic team likes to do.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you can use our IP because that's what makes it keep staying relevant, but don't make any money off of it because that would be jacked up.
Yes, and like most...
People tend to leave a loophole for, like, physical fan art.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, yeah.
And okay. I mean, like, the thing for, like, most of these fan developers is, like, they've made, like, multiple very competent games at this point that it's like, you might not be able to make money off of these, but you can certainly put that in your portfolio and be like, look, I do know how to make this very, like, competent product. Like
This game that was streaming as much as Redfall.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, even if you, yeah, like, hey, you know what? This fighting game works. I'm just going to replace all the sprites and just make the same game. It's like...
Yeah.
Nothing stopping you, dog. Like, if it works, it works.
It looks like there's a single player mode that has, like, you have upgrades and items you can get for the characters and stuff like that that are...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, there's...
That's more than was in a lot of current AAA fighting games. They're like, here's six dudes, fight them.
I saw people going through, like, there's, like, a stage select almost akin to, like, the old, like, Super Smash Brothers stages, like, the original classic mode or whatever. And, like, you can buy upgrades from, like, in-game shops and stuff like that. Like, it's pretty well, like, rounded. And then, like, the fact that it had, like, the thing for me is the fact that this indie, like, you know, fan game has online multiplayer with rollback netcode, a thing that, like, some major developers can't seem to get to put into their...
when you first said that out loud, like, the person I have become is someone who could cackle at that earnestly.
It's so funny.
The person this show has turned me into.
It's so funny that, like, it... And, like...
You're a gamer now, Steph.
Yeah.
Everybody plays video games.
You're a gamer,
so we're not gatekeeping.
Yeah.
But once you hit the point where you're like, I know what rollback netcode is, yeah, you're a gamer.
Yeah. The...
Even if you don't play games anymore, you'll always be...
It's just... It's so funny that they managed to put that in there and, like, spent the time to do it. And then, like, they... have also been incredibly responsive to, like, issues. Like, I told you guys before we started the show that, like, a couple of the Hololive talents wanted to stream it, but they couldn't get the online, like, I guess matchmaking to work between the two of them. So the developer was like, oh, I see what's wrong. Like, was in their chat, was like, I see what's wrong, give me a second and I'll patch it.
Like patching in real time.
Yeah, like, that's just crazy. Like,
I think most developers would really love to do that.
Yeah,
I'll be hanging out in Overwatch streams, and some of the developers are there. And you're like, man, if you didn't work for a big giant corporation, I know you'd be like, oh, don't worry, we're fixing it. Like, well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. It's like
having that kind of like immediate, like very quick back and forth. Like, because it went both ways. I was also telling you guys about like one of the Hololive members was playing as herself in the game, and she was like. Playing and heard the sound, like voice clips they used, the voice samples they used for her, and she said, those are like some really bad voice samples, let me get you some new ones, and literally like stopped her stream and like did
record some new bits.
Yeah, did like a couple bit, like she turned off the sound and then did a couple bits live on stream and said, can you use those? And the dev was in chat was like, yeah, like I can use those. And she was like, cool, I'll send them to you right now, and like just sent over the sound files.
Like, just an absurd amount of speed, which is so cool.
Yeah, and it's just cool to see it coming from both sides of it, both like the development side and like the thing that you're interacting with as a fan. Like it's cool. It's just like it's cool to see a community come together like that.
Agreed.
That's dope. I love this.
Dom and I have it downloaded. We'll play it at some point to
say report back on the
I love a fighting game. Just at least give it a try.
Situation.
Yeah.
It seems to be like a what do they call these? I guess it's like in the anime fighter franchise, which is also what Marvel vs. Capcom tends to be in. which just basically means it's like a 2D fighter, but you can probably air juggle and call in summons or assists in a way that, like, you can't in Street Fighter 2 and Tekken, that are a little bit more grounded as far as gravity is concerned. Which is not to say grounded. Air juggling is, okay, so you remember in Scott Pilgrim when he fights the first X and he punches him in the sky and then starts attacking him in the air without him falling down?
Yes, okay, like, that, yes.
Literally,
like,
air juggling is basically keeping somebody in the air so that you don't have a chance to fall down and recover.
Yeah.
Got it. Like the like in an anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically like in an anime. And you're still being affected by gravity, but you're just defying it rather than like in Dragon Ball Z where you're just straight up flying. And you're just getting, like, punched in the face a bunch. You're not being air juggled, you're just being juggled while in the air. But juggling just comes from as... to the listener, juggling is basically like a combo system of when your character gets hit and the knockback and the stun, they don't recover from that in enough time to be able to, like, block or dodge or anything like that. So, in games like Street Fighter, you don't really go into the air that much, even if you're getting comboed. Which would be more like if you're getting comboed in real life where someone just punched you so much you can't react. Tekken's kind of like that. Mortal Kombat, even though these games aren't realistic, there's fireballs. In anime, you can start flying through the skies. Famously, Marvel vs. Capcom had it. You can air juggle somebody and slam them down into the ground for your next guy to jump in. And you'll hit somebody, they'll bounce off the ground and come back up, and your next person will start punching them. Idol Showdown seems like it follows more of that than a Mortal Kombat, is what I'm saying.
Yes, yeah. I hope to see that they continue to, like, develop it, and I just enjoy seeing that kind of fan project, like, that is a way for a, what is kind of like a large and diverse group of fans to, like, show their appreciation for both the source material and, like, each other. Like, because, like, a lot of it is also, like, people, like, you know, going wild over this thing and, like, shouting out the devs for it and, like, being very, like, supportive of all that kind of stuff. Like, it's always kind of cool to see that.
Yeah, that I love that part of fan culture that is that, like, you know, it's part of what it's where fan fiction comes from, too, is just, like, gifting each other creative works that were inspired by the thing you both like.
Yeah, it's...
is a really, like, wonderful element of human culture, I feel like.
It's literally like another term for it is like, it's literally like appropriation of like this, like, part of this culture and like regurgitation of it into a different thing. Like, it's, you know, it's
transformative.
It's transformative and it's cool, and like, it's nice to see it in a way that like isn't being done for greed or for like immense profit or anything, because you literally can't. So
yeah, it's just, it's about the, it's funny, and it's that whole thing people say no one wants to work anymore. I'm like, there's people literally out here making video games not even for clout, just because they want to say, hey, look at this cool thing I made with this other cool thing we made. And everyone's like, that's so cool. Like, it is cool, that's why I did it.
Because like, even if you look at it like the memes that are like the moves that the characters use might be based on a meme that is like something that someone in chat said as a joke about something that happened on a stream. Like, it's this very like iterative and like creation of this whole like culture around it. It's cool. And you know, if you're not a fighting game fan, go out and try Hollow Cure, because I don't think I've met anybody who doesn't like Vampire Survivors at this point. So
yeah, it's pretty much a solid product now. There's not really a lot of pushback against it.
And Hollow Cure is a free one of those, and it's, if you were like, man, I like Vampire Survivors, but I sure wish it had more cute anime girls in it, go play.
Well, if you wait long enough,
I'm
sure there'll be in Vampire Survivors eventually.
Well, actually, I mean, I know we said that we wanted to finish on this, but did you guys know that they're making a Vampire Survivors anime?
What, Castlevania?
Yeah, no. I'm not joking. They're making a show based off Vampire Survivors.
I assumed you were telling the truth.
I fully believe you.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well,
but, like, one of the quotes...
I mean, all right.
One of the quotes given was, like, the guy, like, the person who's, like, supposedly pitching it or whatever, talking about, like, you know, wanting to make this other piece of vampire fiction. And Jeff Gerstmann's response to this was, does this guy know that there are no vampires in Vampire Survivors?
Yeah, Famously, so, I have not yet encountered a vampire.
There aren't
in
any.
Because they already, that we survived them.
Right.
So
I
went to
vampires.
Went to dualshockers.com just to search this up. Vampire Survivors, the game that took the indie scene by storm last year, is being adapted into an anime by Story Kitchen, the studio founded by John Wick writer-creator Derek Kolstad and Sonic the Hedgehog producer Dimitri M. Johnson.
Oh my god.
The team is currently seeking a writer to get the project in full gear while preparing to pitch the show to Animation Network buyers.
Okay.
You so know that's what, barely a twinkle in anyone's
eye.
No,
but it's...
Look, if it's John Wick Man and Sonic Man, I think we have a chance of this being a decent adaptation.
Yeah, it would be cool to see. It's just very funny, but you know, hey, if you want to see a auto shooter survival game that's already been adapted into live action, like into a show, I mean, that's just Hololive. The show came before, so
reverse adaptation.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, I think we did it.
Think we did?
I think we done did a show.
Do we, what do we want to do here? We want to jump into the social media biz?
Yeah, let's,
yeah, delete it. Delete your social media.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I was going to make a tapping noise, but I messed something up.
But yeah, delete your social media, but before, until you do that, you can find us in all the old places. We are in Twitter at Character Rev. We are on Instagram and Facebook at Character Reveal. We update Facebook and Twitter every week whenever we have a new episode. So if you are not for some reason subscribed, which it would be great if you did, you will know that the episode has dropped. And you can also find us on the internet at characterreveal.simplecast.com. You can find us in your podcast catcher of choice of a Character Reveal. And after you subscribe to us, you can maybe leave a rating or a review. That would be awesome. You can also reach out to us at characterreveal@gmail.com. Individually, we are, let's see, me, I'm Captain Seth on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, and Hella Seth on Instagram. Dom, he's Brother Dom anywhere he wants to be found on the internet. Eric, he's an enigma.
It's true.
And, you know, if you like the three of us, or even two of the three of us, or even one of the three of us, or if you, like, hate us, but you still think that people should be compensated for their work, you could help participate in doing that. You can do that on Patreon by going to patreon.com/characterreveal and becoming a patron of $1 more per month, or you can buy some coffee.
Yeah, you can buy coffee by going to Grinding Coffee Company. They are our sponsor. They're a woman-owned, black-owned, LGBTQ+-owned online coffee shop, and their wares are delicious. They got beans, they got grounds, they got K-cups, they got many flavors. Whatever you need to enjoy coffee, you can go check them out. And we wouldn't just recommend this to you without a little bit of something-something on the side. And that little something-something on the side is an offer code. So if you go to their site or use the offer code, use the link in our description and offer code CHARACTERREVEAL, all one word, you get 10% off. That helps them, that helps you, that helps us. It's a triple win. Can't go wrong with that. Again, offer code CHARACTERREVEAL for some delicious coffee that'll help get you through the day. Whether you're a gamer, or a streamer, or just person chilling and need some of that good stuff. They got you covered. Grinding Coffee Company. It's good.
It's good.
And yes, I mean, I think that is pretty much it. Team Power won the Zelda Splatfest on Splatoon 3. There's that. I don't know. I didn't play. But yeah, so, hey guys, thanks for hanging out on another episode with me. Listeners, thanks for sticking around. And hey, yeah, until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Happy Tears of the Kingdom Day.